No matter how hard we work, we still have not done enough to thank Him for all that He has done for us today. In the book of Revelations, in the 7th chapter, is where we'll be reading from tonight while you pray for us for a few minutes of time, that we might be able to give a word that would be encouraging and uplifting to God's people, that those that may not know the Lord, that they would realize that God comes to help you and to guide you, and not to cause you harm, but to bless your life and give you all things that you stand in need of from this day forward. For every step of the journey, as a prophet of old said, I've been young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor begging bread. God has always made a way for us, Brother Jim. Sometimes we look back and we don't know how He did it, but we know it had to be God. As Sister Sarah Baker sang that song, it bound to be the Lord when you look at so many things in our life. In the book of Revelations, in the 7th chapter, go with me, if you would, starting at verse 9 tonight. And we'll be skipping down, so you just bear with us. He says in verse 9, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And then go down with me, if you would, to verse 13. He says, and one of the elders answered, saying unto him, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve Him day and night in His temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And stop reading there in that 17th verse. And the Bible teaches us, and that there are many. Let me first dispel the theory that there's only a select number, being the 144,000 that are going to heaven. When we read that first verse, he said, I beheld a multitude which no man could number. Some of my loved ones is in that number. Some of your loved ones is in that number. And that excites my soul, Brother Ron. But you know what else he saw? He saw me in that number. Amen. And that excites my soul. To know that when he looked down through the age of time, he saw a young man like me that needed to know a Savior. And Jesus bled and died to take away my sins so that I could be part of that crowd. In the book of Revelations, in the 21st chapter, in the 4th verse, it says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. The Bible teaches us today, and I want to talk about the pain that he's talking about there tonight, is that there are a lot of things in this world that causes us pain. A lot of things. When we see, like Ellie, when we see one of our children get hurt, it causes us pain. Back, when the kids was growing up and they would be injured, it's like when Max was injured. It hurts you to see them in pain. There's a lot of pain that's not physical that you cannot see, but yet it's real. It's real. How many of us today have pains that we don't expound upon, and maybe we don't talk about much often, but yet they're as real can be, and cause tears to come? How many of us today, as we go through our day or maybe through the night when we can't sleep and there's tears that fall and hit the pillow because of pain that we have in our hearts or in our lives. There's a lot of pain that when a loved one passes away, that the tears flow like a river. Because we know that even if they know the Lord, they've gone to a better place, but it's not that we weep for them, but we weep for ourselves because we will not get to see them anymore on this side of the river. Pain is so hard. And every day it seems like there's a different type of pain that comes. It's almost like your body, in that today it may be a shoulder or an ankle, but tomorrow it might be a hip or a leg that is bothering you. Pain comes, and sometimes they used to say it goes, but it seems like in these latter days that we have more pain than we do pain-free days. And it's a lot that is spiritual, that we hurt. Jeremiah said that when he saw the hurt of the daughter of his people, that he wept until he was black. He wept in such a situation because of the pain that he was seeing people go through, that it bothered him so much that he got down in sackcloth and ashes and began to weep. In the book of Lamentations, he tells us there that he began to weep, that his tears ran down like a river. If you love somebody, you'll shed tears on their behalf. Even Christ, when he was here and he prayed for you and I. And the tears flowed. You remember, even in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he saw the pain that he was going to have to go through, he prayed until his tears became as great drops of sweat, or blood, rather. So pain has been since the beginning. Ever since the fall of man, pain was introduced. You remember, God told Adam, he said, by the sweat of thy brow shalt thou till the ground. Thorns and thistles shall come up, and you're going to have to till. You're going to have to work. And we know that that kind of work, for those of you that's never done it, causes a lot of pain. And he told Eve, he said, in childbearing thou shalt have pain, even to the point that it could take your life. And some may say that was old time ways. Even still today, there are women that lose their life through childbirth. When we look around at the world today and see the condition that it is in, it causes a lot of pain and tears to flow, as Jeremiah said in Lamentations, like a river. But the Bible says, David said in the book of Psalms in the 126th chapter, that they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. There's been times that many of us have wept, seemed like daily, maybe even nightly. But then when we see that God moves, our tears change from tears of sorrow to tears of joy. And there is a big difference because the burden is lifted and we are no more in pain. It's almost like a mother giving birth. Before the child is born, the pain is so excruciating that the pain is so great that it's even almost to the point of death. But as soon as that child is born, all of that pain is forgotten about and joy comes in. And then real tears begin, right? For the rest of your life. And I say that not to be funny, because we do weep for our children all the days of our life. As long as we're alive, that pain will be there. And when grandchildren come along, it does not stop, but it seems to even magnify with the grandchildren. Amen? But he said that there would be a lot of pain that we would have to endure, and the tears would flow. But God told us here in Revelations by John the Revelator that in that 17th verse, that God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And I've often thought about that verse in the one over in the 21st chapter when he says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. Most of the things that causes tears today is the things that he says there about death, sorrow, crying, and because of pain that we go through. If you think about the number of tears that you have shed in your lifetime, most of them have been tears of pain versus tears of joy. But I've come to remind us tonight that heaven is going to erase all pain and sorrow. There'll be no more tears of sorrow and pain that we will have to cry because of death. All of that will be behind us, and we will, some say, never cry again. But I say, how could we not shed a tear at the throne of God and say, thank you, Lord? You know, some people, when they get overly happy, they began to cry. And when I think about how good God has been to us, it causes my eyes to swell because I say, thank you, Lord. Not that I'm reflecting back on any sorrow, but Brother Ott, I'm reflecting back on the good things that God has done. How many of us tonight, when we think about all the good things that God has blessed us with in our life, how many of us today, sometimes, no matter how stern of a person you may be, it causes tears to come because you reflect on, oh Lord my God, how great that He really is, as we preached the other Sunday. He said that all these things would come to end because the former things are passed away. Another scripture says, behold, the former things are passed away, and behold, all things are new. That's what happens when God saves us. The tears that we shed as a sinner will never be shed again. Think about it. The tears that I wet and bow down upon an altar of prayer and cried out for God to save me, I'll never shed those tears again because I've never have to pray for God to save me again. I was thinking about this today. I don't know why, but I'm thankful that I serve a God that once saved, always saved. Tara mentioned about water by baptism. If that was the case, I'd be waterlogged because every time they fall, what they use the term, every time they fall from grace, they have to get resaved. Every time you sin, you would have to go back and get resaved. We'd never be able to empty the pool. It'd have to stay full because I'd have to get the deacons, I guess, to baptize me. Because we all sin and come short of the glory of God. He said here that they would all pass away and that He would make all things new. In the 21st chapter, and He says, and write, for these words are true and faithful. Today we may have tears that run down like a river because of they're associated with pain. They're associated with sorrow and death that come along in our lives and just tear us up. There's a lot of bad things that happen to a lot of good people. In fact, sometimes, Brother Mark, I question and say, Lord, why me again? And you say, do you think it was God that brought it upon you? No, but I believe it was God that allowed the test to come in our lives. Because no matter how strong that we think we are, even the strongest of Christians, the devil can break. And don't you ever forget it. You know, sometimes, Brother Ron, we see people going through pain and we say, they ought not act like that. What we ought to do is say, Lord, help them. And help me that I never have to go through what they are going through at this hour. I think about when I talked to Bill's daughter this afternoon, I said, well, how's Mamie doing? And she said, she's taking it awfully hard. Awfully hard. I don't know about you, but I would have thought Mamie would have went before Bill. But it's not always the one that's sickly that goes first. God's got a day and a time that we're all going to leave here. But I'm thankful today that when I leave here, I've shed my last tear of sorrow. I've shed my last tear due to pain or due to a loved one that's outstripped me and gone on. Sister Dottie Rambo sang a song many years ago that said, tears will never stain the streets of that city there. No wreath of death on my mansion's door. There will not be tears of sorrow in heaven. But even if you don't agree with me, let me go on believing that I'll get to shed a tear of joy at the throne of God for all that he did for me in this life, but most of all for the saving of my soul. In fact, can I preach it like this? When we get there, we won't be reminded of the things that we went through in this life. The only thing that we'll have knowledge of is that we was lost and God saved us by his amazing grace and made it so that we would never have to worry about tears of sorrow again. Isn't that something? And when I hear that song, won't it be wonderful there, having no burdens to bear? Amen. Joyously singing with hearts all ringing. Won't it be wonderful there? Heaven's going to be a place where there's joy. Brother Jack, some folks have questioned me in the past, and the world thinks that when we get to heaven, it's just going to be a bunch of spirits floating around. The Bible says that we'll have a brand new body likened unto God himself. We'll have a spirit, but it will be encased in that new body. And we will walk and talk. We will sing and shout. And we will praise the Lord for all eternity without ever shedding another tear of pain or sorrow. When we think about all the things that have brought tears to our eyes. I wish the circumstances of some of them had been different, but I don't regret one tear that I've cried on behalf of my loved ones and my church family. I don't regret one tear of joy that God allowed us to feel when somebody was singing or testifying or preaching the gospel. You know, folks used to cry a whole lot more in the house of God. They used to not worry about what somebody might say or think. They used to come with their cups turned up saying, God bless me. And as Rachel sang that song a few Sundays ago, I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup overflows. Psalms 23, David said, and my cup runneth over. But it's not tears of sorrow. And I believe with all my heart, that's what he is talking about in these scriptures. Even going back to the book of Isaiah. Real quickly tonight, and I said I won't be long before you. But Isaiah said it the same way. If you want to go back to Isaiah, the 25th chapter, in the 8th verse, he said it very close, I should say, to what he has said here. That He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears off all faces. And the rebuke of his people shall he take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. The tears that we now shed, God is going to wipe them all away. When death comes, all of the tears will be left behind. Let me give you a little history of the Bible. They used to bottle up their tears as a sign of love for their loved ones. Tonight, if I can encourage any of us, all of us, tonight just a little bit stronger, is that we ought to shed tears for our loved ones like we never have before. Because time is running out. And it's too late once they're laying in front of us at the funeral home or at a church to shed tears. But if we're going to shed tears, we better shed tears while they're alive and have the opportunity to get right before it's too late. There's a lot of folks that we look at. Mom and Dad thinks that because their children are prospering that everything is all right. There's a lot of people that are prospering but are headed to hell for eternity. I'd rather see my children right with God than anything I know of. That will cause less tears on my behalf and on theirs. Because how many of us today have had to shed tears for ourselves because we went contrary to what we have been taught in the house of the Lord? And we had to say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. The tears of sorrow because we had let God down in our Christian life. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts in the 20th chapter and the 19th verse. He says that we should serve the Lord with many tears. How many of you remember the woman that came to Jesus there and washed his feet with her tears? She wasn't too proud to get down and allow all those around her see her. You know why she did it? Because the Lord was so good to her. He changed her life. How many in the house tonight has God changed your life? Amen. Then we ought to be willing, as the song that said it like this, Lord, I'm willing to shed a million tears or more if it'll lead my lost one to Jesus. That's a lot of tears, Ott. But if our people get saved, it will save a lot of tears. You think about it. You think about the sorrow that would be involved if one of our loved ones went out unprepared to meet God. It's hard enough to say goodbye to them when they're ready, much less if they left this world unready to meet God. We would never get over that pain and that sorrow. We would go to our own grave still weeping and wailing because of it. He said that God is going to wipe away our tears. Have you ever cried and cried and cried, and then it felt like the fountain was just shut off? You know what I believe that is? That's God saying, enough. Enough. And you know, when God says it's enough, it's time to put our handkerchief up and get on our feet and start moving for the Lord. Because if we're not careful, how many of you have ever had a pity party for yourself? And you cried and you cried and you cried. Poor me. Right? When what we ought to be saying is, Lord, I'm in a circumstance now I don't understand. And I need your help. God will do more for us when we give it to him than He can do when we're sitting there just sobbing in our own pity. God will wipe away all tears on this side of the river. I'm not so sure about on the other side. And you say, well, you just read that scripture where it says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. He's talking about and the number of which they said come through great tribulation and had their robes washed white in the blood of the Lamb. Is that not heaven? Let me preach to you tonight. Not everything in the book of Revelations is in heaven. Nor is a lot of it waiting to come. It already has come. You can take it and read it however you want. But a lot of it has already transpired. There's still more to come. But he said that God will wipe away all tears from our eyes. How many of you have got tears of sorrow or pain or because of death upon your heart tonight? Raise your hands in the house of the Lord. If we will ask God, He will come by our house and wipe away those tears. But yet, I believe that we ought to be willing to cry as much as God will allow us to cry. Because it's important. You know what psychologists have said? Is that crying every once in a while is good for you. God knew that a long time ago. But we're crying for the wrong reasons. We're crying because we don't have what everybody else has. Anybody growing up ever thought, man, I wish I had what they have. You know what we're doing is we're crying in our own pity. I've tried to put those tears behind me, haven't you? I didn't get many amens. Maybe some need just to come to the altar. And there's some folks that, Brother Jim, I would like to be able to dry up their tears because there's such deep, deep pain in their life. But I don't have the power to do that, but God does. How many of us tonight has God come by and dried up our tears for us? But yet, there are still tears that I don't want God to dry up. As I close, I hear, every time I say that, I hear that a preacher down south going on to be with the Lord. He said, as I close, I'm going to my seat. As I close, there are still many tears that need to be shed. And we ought to say, Lord, if it will lead them to you, I'd be willing to cry all the tears that you would have me to cry. For our lost people. For those that are hurting. When I talk to Bill's daughter, you can just feel the hurt in her voice. Anybody else ever been there? You can feel the hurt. And no doubt those girls, they shed enough tears on behalf of their mother and father that's in bad health. But one day, God's going to wipe those tears away for the pain. But they'll still be hurt. They'll still be hurt. Tonight, this message is to remind us that we ought not ask God to dry up our tears, Brother Eli, but we ought to say, Lord, not that I would be seen, not that I would be made a spectacle of, but Lord, let me shed a tear on behalf of my loved ones. Because when you begin to shed tears, I believe that's when you are earnest with God. You're seeking God, and you're asking that God's will be done in that prayer. So tonight, we're going to have an altar of prayer. It is an invitation. Anytime we have an altar of prayer, it is an invitation. But for everyone that said you have pain and you know people that are hurting right now, I mean, it tears my heart apart to see others hurting. I'll never forget, since she sent me the text today, it reminds me of when the call come that Doug had passed. And I rushed to the hospital, and I was there with her. And the tears, the sorrow that was there in her heart. I wish that I could take that away, but there are some tears that you cannot remove. The tears that I'm talking about tonight is the tears for those that are still lost and undone. Shed them and be proud of everyone that God allows you to cry. The tears of pain for what your family or your friends are going through. We ought to love so deeply that it hurts. And allow us to take part of that burden upon us and bear it in their stead. But as I've told so many over the years, I can't, but I know a man who can, that is willing to join with you and help you with that load that you're carrying and help to wipe away every tear from your eye on this side of the river. God bless you. Would you join us as we go before Him in prayer? Come tonight for the pain, the hurt that you have, or for those that you love and you care so deeply for. We ought not be embarrassed. Ought not be embarrassed to cry on behalf of our people. If you love them, it'll show. It'll show. Let's close with this prayer.